wedged off the puck. Puck taken back by Campbell, left point. Drop to the Kane on the left half board. Here's Kane now, juking his way to the right, lower left corner. Should he score? Oh, no, that's turned wide by Layton. Loose puck in the crease. And now it's in the net. They score! The Hawks win the Stanley Cup! The Hawks win the Stanley Cup. Layton is down on his knees in the goal crease. And that one looked like it slid past him into the net. They're going to go and take a look. They're going to take a look upstairs. But everybody on the ice, nobody knew where the puck was. Layton froze in the goal crease. Let's see what we have
here. It's in the back of the net.
It's in the back of the net. The Hawks have won the Stanley Cup. Blackhawk fans around the world, you've endured 49 years of frustration. But your patience has finally paid off. Lord Stanley's new address is sweet home Chicago. The Chicago Blackhawks have won the Stanley Cup.
Oh, man. Who can forget that moment? If you live through it, if you are a Hawks fan, just a Chicagoan, I mean, there was such an excitement in the air. Hockey was, I think, until about 2008, 2009 in Chicago, it was, and the Blackhawks were a bit of an afterthought. I think Eddie Olczyk would agree with me on that as a great NHL player, Chicago Blackhawk, and played for a number of other teams and actually coached the Pittsburgh Penguins. This is a man who's won a couple of Stanley Cups in his career, Brother Rice graduate. And Edzo, that moment, that because you know you and I grew up around the same time in this town, and we watched Bobby Hull and Stan Mikita play, and just imagine when we were playing in a frozen park somewhere that we were one of those two guys, and then we got to see Kane and Taves come to this town and actually do what at least you nor I could remember actually having been done by the Hawks before we were born. But that moment, it just, even though you've won, you had won a Stanley Cup going into that with another team, what was your reaction just being a fan?
Well, bro, it's nice to be with you, and thank you for having me. I think when I look back at that moment, I was working that game for NBC, sitting next to the great Doc Emmerich, and, when I saw that happen, there were so many emotions for me. I mean, a couple of different hats. One is, as a Chicago kid, a Chicago guy that grew up there, always wanting my favorite team to win the Stanley Cup, and not seeing that happen, and then being as a former player, my rookie year, bro, we talked about this before, but for some people that may not have heard it, I mean, my rookie season back in 84-85, we went to the conference finals against the Edmonton Oilers, and we ended up losing 4-2, but we were 2 wins away from going to the Stanley Cup final, my first season in the NHL, and unfortunately we weren't able to win, and I never got that opportunity with the Blackhawks the next couple of years, and then I came back for my last 2 years. So, I played 5 years for my favorite team, and I wasn't able to get it done, but I always wondered what it would be like to see the Blackhawks win and to be there working, having been a former player, having been a fan. It was like 40 years of wondering what it would be like, and then to see it happen the way that it happened. And, Kane are the only person really in the building that saw that puck get buried under the net and skating back to the other end, stick gone, mouth guard flailing, and the hesitation with everybody. I mean, it was just, like I said, I think as a hockey guy, to see that happen in our town, I think it made a huge impact in youth hockey. I think it made a huge impact, obviously, for the Blackhawks coming back to where they were. And bro, you remember this. I mean, it's hard to tell this generation or even, the generation prior that, at one time, believe it or not, the Chicago Blackhawks were the number one sports team in this town. I mean, at one point that had happened, and you're right, they fell on tough times. I was a part of that. But you see what's happened here under the leadership of Rocky Wirth and his family and these great players, and to win 3 cups in, 5 or 6 years, it's pretty impressive stuff. So, happy anniversary to the Hawks and to everybody that had a hand in it, because it certainly turned this franchise right around. It all started from day one when Rocky took over.
Yeah, no, there's no question about that. And you go back to those of us who grew up in the 60s and the 70s, primarily in the 70s, and you remember there were some great names from the 1960s, just as little kids. And, you know, parents would put a hockey stick. I got a baseball glove and a hockey stick were the two things I got when I was a kid,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
It was the,
yeah.
And skates and hockey and the CCM yeah. skates, which was, yeah. Even though I didn't really know how to use them, I tried my damnedest. And it was, because it was part of the culture. It was such an important part of the culture. When there were two hockey teams in this town, as there are, you know, kind of technically there are now, but
yeah.
the players were kind of interchangeable between the WHA and the NHL and stuff like that. And this wasn't seen, it wasn't like a minor league team. They were co-leagues, and it, to me, it was so majestic to see this team that I had adored my entire life, and I think I speak for a lot of Chicagoans, you know, boys and girls, that just watched that happen. It was, and Kane, and again, this is the when you play that when we played that call of the goal. It, you know, and as great as John Weidemann is, and he's the best in the business on radio, he had no idea that had gone in. He thought it had gone kicked out.
Yeah.
And nobody knew until Kane, like you said, threw the stick up, and then people had to assume that it had gone in, and they weren't sure.
Right.
They were digging through that the puck was gone in. I was standing next to Bobby Hull at that moment. We were at an event together. And the cameras were all around Bobby Hull, and I was standing to his left, and he turned to me and he said, "What happened?" And I got to tell Bobby Hull that the Blackhawks had won the Stanley Cup in 2010. And it was, and
right.
that just, I forget about everything else I've ever done. That just goes down as, you know, as a child, I can't believe that happened. And
yeah, it was special because you know what it did, Ro, it really, I think what it did was, I mean, I don't think there's any doubt it brought sports fans in this town, regardless if you're a hockey fan or not. I think it galvanized the city. I think everybody was so jacked up about it. And you think about the celebration and the party and, you know, the parade and everything that went with it. And, I mean, this team was, you know, nobody knew they were on the verge of winning a couple more cups in the next, you know, four
right.
or 5 years, whatever it was. But it just had it still does, like, till this day. I mean, it still has such a huge impact in our community and in the game and for the game of hockey in our town, because look, we live in a, you know, a fast food society. We see it, we want it, we want to go there, we want to buy it, we want to try it, we want to do it. I mean, everything is instantaneous. So when people were seeing hockey and the excitement of it, they may have never seen hockey before, but all of a sudden they see it, and they might not understand the rules, but they see how entertaining it is. You know, the numbers have been proven. I mean, the numbers for, you know, people getting involved in hockey at all ages, it just has gone up tremendously over the course of the last 10 years.
And women, right? I mean,
yeah.
You've got...
Oh, yeah, right. Yeah, absolutely. All ages, men and female, all demographics, all parts of the city. I mean, it's just, you know, and the Hawks certainly have taken that to another level off of the ice, of going to
right.
schools in all parts of Chicago and the suburbs and introducing, you know, floor hockey or street hockey or roller
yep.
hockey or ice hockey, and it's just been a great they've done a great job off the ice in helping building hopefully fans for a lifetime.
36 years ago today, by the way, Eddie Olczyk, a young child, was drafted in the first round of the NHL draft, third pick overall in the NHL draft by our beloved Chicago Blackhawks. 36 years ago today, 10 years ago today, they won the Stanley Cup for the first time in a generation in Philadelphia, which everybody...
No pun intended, but I don't think that my anniversary is going to trump what happened 10 years
no,
ago.
No, no. I think that
know,
is correct.
Not at all. But you know what? On a personal note, my anniversary is a lot longer than what the Hawks did 10 years ago, so I may look at that a little bit differently, but I'm like, I don't know where in the hell the time has gone. I've been very lucky, very blessed, and proud to say that I am going to be a grandfather for the first time in less than a month. My oldest son, Eddie, and my daughter-in-law, Erica, are going to have a baby coming up in early July. So I knew I was old a couple of years ago, but I know I am on the verge of being really old when I become a grandfather, but I can't wait. So thank you for recognizing my... That was such a great day, Ro, because look, as a kid, I lived and died as a Blackhawk fan, and all I ever wanted to do was to be able to wear that wear that sweater, and I was able to play my first game as a Blackhawk, my 1,000th game as a Blackhawk, and my last game as a Blackhawk, and played a lot of games in between, but certainly I lived the dream as a Chicago kid, so I appreciate you recognizing that.
Oh, wow, it's amazing. Do you think that hockey is definitely coming back here, and if so, when mm-hmm. and how?
It sure looks like the momentum is there. With everything that the league has done, the Board of Governors, the ownership, Gary Bettman, the commissioner, and the Players Association, the Return to Play Committee, they've got a format. Now they're just, you know, trying to jump over a few more hurdles. And I would imagine probably if we can get everything done and get the players back together in some sort of a training camp for a couple of weeks, probably towards the end of July would probably seem like has the most momentum with people that I have spoken to, and we'll see from there. But you know, again, I the questions are valid, right? Because we're still dealing with this pandemic. What happens if somebody gets ill? What is going to be the protocol? The question has to be asked, well, what happens if 15 guys get it? I mean, well, what's going to happen with that team? So, look, it's not only hockey, it's basketball, it's baseball. If we ever get there, you know what, together. You know, football, I mean, we've seen it with some college football teams in spring practice here. Again, they're not playing games, but I think you know what I'm talking about. So, look, there's a lot of hurdles to continue to jump over. I believe we will play. We might be awarding the Stanley Cup in October. I mean, you just don't know, but an opportunity for the 24 teams to get into this tournament, and the mentality probably is and should be, in talking to a lot of players around the league, not only Blackhawk players, but you know, why not us? You know, like why not? We got a chance, so let's take advantage of it and see what happens.
Yeah, and you raise a very important point, Eddie Olczyk, about getting the virus, which is why the NBA was the first to shut down operations, and everybody was shocked by that in the first week of March. Like, wait, what do you mean? And we knew this was out there, but then all of a sudden the NBA says, hey, no more games, because they had players that went positive, and they got five starters on the floor at any time.
Right. Wow. Right. Yeah, and that's, again, those talks are going on. There's no doubt about it. I mean, look, Rowan, another thing too is just thinking out loud here, if I can, the cost of testing, how many times, what kind of roster are you going to have? Are you going to have 28 skaters? Are you bring back 30 skaters? Are you going to bring back four or five goalies? You got your coaches, you got your trainers, you got your essential staff. If you're testing every day and you have a staff of, they're going to have to cap it, but if you have a group of 50 and you're testing every day, over 30 days, if you happen to, go on a run, and you're getting the test back right away because you can't test somebody on a Monday and wait till Thursday. If you're testing every day and you're getting those results back, I mean, you're talking couple hundred thousand a month,
right?
Insurance, whatever, but there's a big cost into this. And look, it's always about the money. Let's make it perfectly clear, but those are things I'm sure that are trying to get all worked out, but just another thing to another layer to this whole this whole situation of trying to get back and playing. And look, at we know what's going on in the real world, we understand that, but it looks like, we're moving into a position where hopefully we can get the game of hockey back and entertain. And we know there's not going to be any fans at the start, but, maybe as we get a little further along there, maybe we might, get an opportunity maybe to get some fans towards the end or maybe in the Stanley Cup final.
Eddie Olczyk is not only a broadcaster of hockey for NBC Sports Net, but also of horse racing. And the Triple Crown, or at least the Belmont, would have been run last Saturday, and it would have been the end of that run here. It wasn't, obviously. There is still going to be, theoretically, a Triple Crown this year. They're going to run three races. Horse racing is still running in tracks around the nation. And it's going to be very interesting because it's going to be the Kentucky Derby, then the Preakness, then the Belmont, I think. Or no, I'm sorry.
No, Preakness is last. Derby, Preakness. Yeah, Belmont Derby, Preakness.
Right.
Yeah.
And yeah. that's going to happen in August, September, and October, or something like that.
June, next week, next Saturday, a week from Saturday, the Belmont. And then we'll have the first Saturday in September for the Derby, and then the first Saturday in October for the Preakness.
I wonder, and they're also changing the distances of the race, too.
Just for the Belmont. Usually it's a mile and a half, but they're going to go a mile and an eighth, which is for sure what you need to do with these young three-year-old horses, because you know a lot of them haven't been able to race because a lot of the tracks have been shut down. So you shorten up the race. It happens to be the first jewel of the Triple Crown. And look, Ro, I think you know maybe there's an opportunity here for horse racing is to maybe reassess the Kentucky Derby. So for people that don't know, the Kentucky Derby and the Triple Crown is only for three-year-old horses. We run it in the first Saturday in May, and then they run 2 weeks later in Baltimore for the Preakness, and then they wait 3 weeks and run a mile and a half in New York at the Belmont. But, you know, maybe there's an opportunity here to look and go, you know what, maybe we allow these three-year-old horses to mature a little bit. Maybe we let them grow a little bit more. Maybe, you know, why can't it be the first Saturday in July? Why can't it be the first Saturday in August when we run the Kentucky Derby? And again, you the most important thing is the equine athletes to make sure that they're mature and you know they're healthy and they're safe, and you know, because we're in such a hurry to get them to the Derby, you know, sometimes it just takes some horses a little bit longer. So I think from a competitive standpoint, I think it'd be great if it was later. So here's an opportunity to see how it goes, and maybe there's a change, but it's going to be interesting. Look, we have a Triple Crown winner. You tip your jockey silks to him and your and your whip, and you go, hey, you know what? You won it in an unconventional way. But look, we've had this before in horse racing where they've run out of order and they've run different distances just because of different things that have happened in our world over the years. So this is
no
the way it's going to go. So NBC. June the 20th, I'll be working the coverage from my basement that day. Uh-huh. I'll be on NBC at 2 local on good old Channel 5, and I'll be doing 3 hours of hopefully giving lots of winners out to those people out there.
Yeah, I generally follow you, and I generally do well when you do well. All right, but that's the way that we have to look at that. And I had no idea you're such a revolutionary, Eddie Olchek. All right, Eddie, thank you so much. It was great going down memory lane with you about 10 years ago when the Chicago Blackhawks won their first Stanley Cup in a generation.
I appreciate it. Soon. Be well, man. Say hi to Andy.
You too. Thanks, all right, well.